You're listening to Coleman Power on the Organic Fitness Podcast.
All right, welcome to the latest episode of the Coleman Power Organic Fitness Podcast. I have my latest expert here in front of me on all things menopause, so Catherine O'Keefe from most certainly County Kilkenny, but hailing in the Dublin region at this moment in time. I brought her on because she's a pure wealth and knowledge. She is majorly up and coming. If you haven't seen her on social media, we'll be putting her most certainly tag at the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. Catherine, say hello to the listeners.
Hello, everybody. And thanks for having me on, Coleman. It's a pleasure.
Problem. Yeah, no problem at all. So before we even just get into or started on this podcast, maybe tell a little bit of people, let them know, the listeners, a little bit about your background and how you got into it. And we were kind of chatting about where you were brought up, necessarily raised, or most certainly spent a period of time on farms growing up.
So as you said, I'm from Kilkenny, I was a townie. I'm probably still a townie, aren't I? It's in my bones, my DNA.
Can't change that.
But my grandparents, I had one set of grandparents who lived in town and I had one who lived out in the country on a farm. So actually I loved going out to the farm. So I have great memories of spending summers with my granddad where we'd go through the fields with the needle and the piece of string, collecting the mushrooms and, you know, going out. I used to get belly aches because we'd a gooseberry bush outside one of the sheds, and oh, my granny, like, I'd go missing and sure, I'd be eating all the gooseberries and then I'd be bent over in pain. So yeah, great. I have a great appreciation for the land, for farming, you know, all of that. Yeah, fabulous. But so I guess in terms of how did I end up talking about menopause? Well, I can tell you it wasn't on my career path. And after I went to college, I went to London and I ended up working in investment banking, and I had a great career. I was a director in an investment bank for over 20 years in London, did a stint in New York before finally coming back here. And, you know, I guess I started a family. You have three boys. And then perimenopause hit and it came knocking quite loudly at my door. And I was in the bank at the time, and my biggest challenge was the friggin' brain fog. I just found, you know, I'd be in meetings and Jesus, a word I was going to say, I'd forget the word, the piece of information, I'd forget the piece of information, you know. So, and at the time, I'll tell you, nobody was talking about menopause in the bank, in the workplace at that stage in time. So I think, so it's really my own experience that kind of led me to, you know, want to open up and support the conversation, because unfortunately we still know, as much as we are shattering the taboo, we still know there are people suffering in silence. And, you know, my mission really is to try and, you know, reach as many people as we can, so that we can just support women going through what is a natural stage in life, right? You know, it's part of our evolutionary process. So I guess that's a kind of a whistle stop tour to me. And yes, I do live in Dublin.
We won't hold that against you. Right. So getting us a little bit closer, you being someone who's sharing so much knowledge, took the time, right, the huge effort that it is to write the likes of a book. Right, we'll mention the book. We'll most certainly have it tagged in the show notes. The title of the book is All You Need to Know About Menopause. And even inside that, there is, I'm going to say, six different M's. Could we start off with the first one for everybody now? Take out your notepad, papers, and pens and start to take notes, because this stuff is gold. And it's very important, because as listeners know and clients that I have, I do train a high percentage of women. And the more we learn about this, the absolute better. And you're one of the, I suppose, experts in this particular field.
Yeah, I found Coleman kind of, like, I've talked to thousands of people now, not just in Ireland, but across the globe. Just today, I was working with a multinational company, 500, 600 people across the world. And one of the things that I've found doing all this work is the six M's. And over the years, I kind of developed that. I tweaked it. I added to it. And then it kind of, it got printed when it was put in the book. But the six M's of menopause is really about the fact, you know, once you can understand the symptoms of menopause, all of them in all their different guises, and maybe I'll send you a copy of a symptom checker you could share with your listeners, but you can understand the symptoms, you can understand the management options, And that's part of your supports. But then what really brings it all together? What's kind of like the icing on the cake? And that's what the six M's is. And if we look at it, the very first one that I always kind of say, the starting point is the MOT. So like we do the NCT on the car, it's kind of, and it's simply checking in on yourself, because unfortunately, the mental health aspects, the psychological aspects of menopause can be really tough, can be really challenging. And you can go from being a very confident person to a very anxious person very quickly. So checking in with yourself and actually being in a place where you're comfortable to say, listen, I'm not okay. I don't feel right. I don't feel like myself. I feel a bit lost. I feel no, you know, whatever that looks like for you. But I try and encourage people, you know, at least on a yearly basis, check in with yourself, your birthday, New Year's Eve, whatever it is. If you feel great, fabulous, keep going. But if you don't feel great, then you need to look at that, and you need to look at what's going on and what your supports are. So that's kind of, you know, now there's a lot more detail in the book, obviously, but that's just kind of a high level of it. And then the next one, which I know you love, is menu. So it's food. So it's understanding we are what we eat. And from everything that we eat, that we drink, that we put into our body, just how important it is as we go through these years. And, you know, I'm very, very conscious of the fact that, you know, there's a lot of financial pressures as well for people. But I think we can be very savvy and smart around how we eat to eat well. You know, so that's a key part of it. And, you know, a big part of it in Ireland, but the world over as well, we're just not eating enough fiber. We're not getting enough fiber in our diet, which means one of the biggest challenges in menopause is constipation. And a lot of women will experience that in the perimenopause years. And what's going to help that is fiber. So, you know, it's really having fruit and vegetables, but not sticking to the carrots, the broccoli and the potatoes every week, Coleman. You have to put something different in there, you know, for the gut microbiome as well. We want the diversity. So I always kind of say, look, you know, throw in the fruit and vegetables, the whole grains, but you have to have different ones, because otherwise you just look, as you know, it's like eating the rainbow. You know, so that's another big part of it. And I love food myself, so we could spend the whole podcast talking about food.
Is there anything in particular that you'd even pick out? I know that's a huge question. What would, like, that most people are not eating? So we'll just kind of touch on even your top three foods that you would say people need to add in, these high fiber foods, colorful foods that you would pick and choose for and benefiting, and maybe a little reason why behind that.
Well, first off, I'll always go seasonal. So I know at the moment I'm getting a fabulous celeriac, which is just fantastic for heart health because of the vitamin K, but it's also brilliant for fiber. So if you can just make celeriac, even if you're not into it, just if you're doing a mash, put it half celeriac, half potato, make a soup. It's like it's a fabulous cheap vegetable. So that's a great one to include. Beetroot. Oh, I'm obsessed with beetroot. I love beetroot. I love it. I love it in breakfasts. I love it in soups. I love it in everything. But I guess a really good one to include is nuts and seeds. Nuts and seeds are really beneficial because they're powerhouses of nutrients and minerals, but also you have the likes of chia seeds, pumpkin seeds, and flax seeds, which are phytoestrogens. And phytoestrogens are foods that mimic the action of estrogen in the body. Now, they work in a completely different level to like medical HRT or anything, but they have a fantastic support role to play. So, you know, they'd be kind of the three things, you know, that I would say. But underpinning all of that, what's one thing that the majority of people across the nation aren't doing? They're not drinking enough water. They're not staying hydrated. And there Coleman is drinking his water.
And again, it's a reminder, right? Because even myself, and you would sure fall into the same category, when we're literally working sometimes maybe too long, we forget to do the simple things. Mm-hmm. We forget to literally grab the cup, and that was water inside that. The other cup there literally has a green tea in it. And I won't take out any more to embarrass myself. There's too many cups in front of me. It's the point that doing the simple things is actually so, so beneficial. Yeah, water, without it, literally, we do not function at optimal levels. Our brain is made up of nearly a high percentage of water in itself and each and every cell.
Yeah, if we're even 2% dehydrated, it impacts as our cognitive function. So, you know, this is it's a key part to start. But look, you know, the most important thing I would say is you have to be conscious of your bowels, because so many women will kind of say, you don't have to be going every day. You should be going every day, and it shouldn't be straining. It shouldn't be painful. It should be easy, and you should just pass a stool that's easy every day, you know.
Yeah.
So that is so we've talked about the MOT, the menu. The next one is movement. So look, move every which way you can. It's so important. And obviously, you know, it's the cardiovascular movement for the heart, but it's also the weight bearing resistance training for your bones, because one, you know, we know that as we get older, our bones need to be nourished differently. So that weight bearing exercise now is hugely important. And the other part of movement that I think we don't talk about enough, and I'm obsessed with, is the movement for the brain. So how are you looking after your cognitive function? So we know sleep is hugely important there. We know that mindfulness meditation gives great, you know, respite to the brain from the thousands of thoughts that we have going through our, you know, our head every day. So I think it's also been very important, particularly as women, because we're more prone to dementia, that we are looking after our cognitive health as well. And there's a whole separate chapter in the book on cognition, because it's so big. The next M is mingle, and that's all about support, you know, keeping connected. A lot of people will feel in the early perimenopause. I did. I remember the early perimenopause years. I felt very lonely. I felt quite lost. And I kind of felt like I didn't know what was going on with me. I didn't know, because I was changing and the moods were changing. Everything was changing. And I think it's really important that you have someone to talk to. You know, if it's a partner, if it's a friend, whoever that is. So important, because nobody can go through menopause on their own. You have to have support. You just do. And it can be the support of your friends, and you can have a laugh about it and all that kind of crack, whatever it is. But having support is key. The fifth one then is meaning. And meaning comes from the Japanese term ikigai, which talks about, you know, what's your passion? I know your passion is organic gardening, food, farming, right? So what's your passion? So in menopause, it's kind of like, okay, you have to do more of this. You have to nourish yourself more outside of food and movement. You have to create spaces for you. So that could be, maybe you love reading, maybe you love dancing, maybe you love traveling. Well, do more of it, you know. And menopause all the way through to postmenopause is a time in a woman's life that demands extra care. It is a very profound chapter. I know some women will breeze through it and they don't have to think too intensely about it, but I think for the majority of women, they will say it is change, it is deep change. And that's why I always say, you know, it's a deeply psychological chapter in a woman's life, and that's where it's so important that you have that support for yourself, that you can nourish yourself through meaning. And that kind of brings us then to the last M, which is minding you. And that's all about what are all the nice things you can do for yourself, from journaling to hobbies to sensory activities, just all of these options that will really just bring it all together for you. But the underpinnings, Coleman, the underpinnings of the six M's, of every single one of them, is that you are availing of the opportunities of menopause. And when I say that, what I mean is that you are using this time in your life, because it'll be generally in your 40s or 50s if it's natural, spontaneous menopause. Now you're using this time, you're focusing on your health. But when you're doing all of these, when you're bringing all of these pieces together, you're future-proofing now. So you're future-proofing your heart health, you're future-proofing your cognitive health, and you're future-proofing your bones, so that when it comes to the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you're going to be living healthier. That's my passion in the six M's. It's not that it's just for menopause. Yes, it is, and it'll help with the symptoms, but it's also that I want you to, or I'd love to just invite people to kind of think differently and realize that actually there's opportunity here, because now I can really invest in my health for down the line. So that's a whistle stop tour.
No, and that's why I wanted to go straight into those after doing a little bit of research on, I suppose, your own social media pages. The six M's are very important and very simple. And I love the way you make things and break it down for the general public, because that's who needs this information more than ever. And the idea that women, right, they are the caregivers, and most certainly they are the most important person in the world. If they are not healthy, if they are not happy, if they are not, I suppose, looking after themselves, then it'll be everybody else lose. Their kids, their partner, their friends, their literally work colleagues, everything else suffers if the woman does not look after herself.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's why it's important to also remember that, like, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup, but also menopause isn't just about the person experiencing it. It's all the touch points in that person's life, as you just mentioned, because if you're having a rough day, your family are going to feel it. You know, if you're having issues with libido, well, your partner is going to, you know, be impacted by that. So it touches on many different aspects. If you've brain fog, that might impact your work, you know. So it's far reaching in terms of the impact of the symptoms of menopause. If Coleman, you're going to have symptoms, because we've also got to bear in mind that we know that 20 to 25% of women will go through menopause. Nada, no symptoms. And I've met them. They do exist.
There's not a myth. They are out there.
They are out there. And I always say to them, I'm very jealous of you.
Yeah, see, I don't know what you're talking about, lads. You're absolutely fine.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they haven't slept in 6 years. But anyway, no, I'm joking.
All right. I suppose even a symptom that a lot of women do come into, I suppose, at different ages through their life, I suppose, is hot flushes. Is there something that you would even recommend? Or say we go on to something else, topic just slightly after this. But hot flushes, maybe some of those tips and maybe strategies that you would recommend to people.
Yeah, hot flushes, I mean, not everyone gets them. I'm 53 now. I haven't had a hot flush yet. They're probably going to come next week. I keep saying that.
Of course.
They haven't come yet. So, like, I think with hot flushes, what's really important is look for triggers, because you can often find there can be something you're doing that triggers hot flushes, or it might trigger the occurrence of them. It's not to say that happens everyone, but a starting point is looking for triggers. A big trigger is caffeine. A big trigger is stress. A big trigger is anxiety. So it's just kind of trying to understand, be curious about your menopause symptoms. Because if a symptom starts, you know, okay, try and look when you can, maybe when, you know, the hot flush passes, try and look, okay, what happened before that? Bring awareness to the situation so that you can understand, was I, you know, did I drink coffee? You know, was I nervous? What happened? That's one starting point. Then I would say practically layers. You have to layer up. Like, you know, for example, like I have two layers on me today. Now, for many women, let's say in their day work, outside of work, whatever, it could be that you might have three layers on you, but it's layers that are easy to remove. So if you have a light layer, maybe you have a shirt over it, maybe even a little light scarf, but layers are your best friend when it comes to hot flushes. And then the other thing that, you know, to be mindful of is the synthetic nature of the layers that you're wearing, because so like polyester will aggravate and exasperate for many people, whereas cotton or bamboo won't. So again, it's just finding what works for you from that perspective. But I think a key part of it, you know, the triggers is massive. Now, we also know that mindfulness and meditation has great affinity with reducing the duration and occurrences of hot flushes. So that can also be looked at. And then, of course, you know, some people, depending on the severity, you might talk to your doctor about HRT. And we know that with HRT, the very first symptom that generally tends to respond are the hot flushes and the night sweats. So again, it will be very individual. And also, you know, there's also great herbs out there that are very good. Sage would be very good for hot flushes. Maca is another one that's very, very beneficial. So again, it's just kind of, you know, it's all about building your own personal toolkit, so you kind of find what works for you, you know.
Yeah, totally. And I literally was, and had that mentioned down here, maca, to touch on it, I suppose. The idea, right, I would be a major fan of it. It's actually part of the brassica family, so it's related to the likes of broccoli in itself.
Yeah.
And again, I love bringing in one of the recipes or way that you would add it or consume it or suggest that people do.
I had it yesterday actually, and I just threw it into. I was making a smoothie bowl with porridge. I used that lovely, you know, the organic Mary Mill porridge.
And, I know Kevin very well, legend of a man.
Yeah,
Kevin,
he's great fella. But I literally, I soaked porridge. I soaked the porridge overnight with Brazil nuts, and then the next day, I just rinsed that. I just took the water out. Then I put it in a smoothie with banana. Teaspoon or however much maca you're using, and what else did I put in it? Oh, I put in some Majol dates as well. Delicious, and keeps you full for hours. The thing about maca is you have to be really careful with the brand that you use, because now you see big bags of maca. They're not going to be the same in terms of therapeutic dose as to maybe a very good tub of maca. Like, I know there's a fabulous lady down in Galway, Sarah's Choice, who brings in maca from Peru, and that is by far you know, one of the kind of best forms of maca I've certainly seen. But with maca, you have to kind of find your sweet spot. You know, for some women, like say if they're taking a capsule, some women it might be two, for another woman it could be four, for another it could be three. So you have to find what works for you, but that's a fantastic herb for hot flushes.
Yeah, there we go. And most certainly for both people who haven't tasted it, my personal I'm going to say palate would say it's a butterscotch kind of a taste to add to oats or even a warm beverage.
Yeah.
Add hot water, mix it up.
Yeah.
There you go. Drink it away. And again, another way of mac. I love, like, it's called habit stacking. Adding in things.
What you're doing
already. You should be drinking. If you could add maca, that'd be great. Right?
Yeah.
Could you get, and people are saying electrolytes, could you add in a pinch of pink Himalayan salt to your water? Great, that's another absolute winner. Like, that's what I had in some of the beverages here at this table, and I continue to recommend that to more and more people. And I suppose leaning towards, I suppose, people, what gets measured kind of gets managed. Is there any, I suppose, apps that you might even recommend to people that would, I suppose, like to make improvements?
I'm not probably a big app person myself, Coleman. I'm a huge pen to paper girl. I love journaling. I find I like every night I do my gratitude journal before I turn off my light. I've done that for years. Had a panic attack nearly last night because I ran out of journals. I'm like, and I always have tons of them. So I had to open a lovely one from Italy, and I'm like, oh, okay, let's go. But I do think it's very beneficial to keep a track of what's happening as you're going through, because with the brain fog, you'll forget from one week to the next. You might think, I know that symptom wasn't so bad, but you don't remember. So I do think there's great benefit in doing that. So I use pen and paper journals, like journals coming out my ears. So that's kind of for me. Now, I will say the only thing is I have, you know, this has come up on conversations and talks that I've done, is any app you're using, and particularly I think around menopause, just always be careful about the privacy and the, you know, how it's been used that way in terms of the information you're putting in. And I know a lot of people are quite conscious of that, and maybe aren't too happy to maybe, you know, have their information being collected that way. But look, very, very personal, you know. I would say in terms of resources to look at, there is obviously my own podcast and my own website, but I would also say the Women's Health Concern. It's a UK patient public website, and it's the kind of the patient arm of the British Menopause Society. It's a fantastic resource to utilize as well.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I suppose just conscious of your own time, is one thing that you wish that you knew when you started off, I suppose, your own health journey that you could pass on to people? I know one thing is quite difficult, but and as she does a big stretch behind going, Jesus, Coleman, how am I going to give you a one? There's 100. And she'll say, and this is fair, we'll most certainly tag it up in the show notes and we'll mention that again before we wrap it up. But is there one thing you go, Jesus, I wish I did that a little bit sooner?
So I think I was very proactive. Once I started to see things happening, I got on. I'm very much roll the sleeves up, right? Okay, I'm going to tackle this. I'm just going to go at it head on. That's the way I am. And that definitely helped me. Jesus, what's the one thing? Well, no, actually, if you're to start anywhere in your menopause journey, start with sleep. It's so important. If and it's important for you today. But we know that sleep has an impact on dementia and Alzheimer's. So it's important for your long-term health as well. So I think, you know, my priority is sleep. Now I have to put a huge amount into my sleep in terms of the steps I take, because I know otherwise I won't have a good night's sleep. And then my next day is just not as good as it could be. So I think, you know, prioritize sleep. And even if it means like this week, I decided, okay, I'm not watching any TV during the week, because I just thought I'd go for a walk, I'll do my journal, I'll whatever. But I just wanted to have less Netflix just for a change. Just want to see how that sits with me. So I'm continuously playing with my sleep and just kind of trying to figure out what works for me, but just prioritize sleep.
Yeah, and that's an absolute classic one, I suppose, to even finish up on. So we've literally went from the likes of the 6 M's to 3 of your top 2 foods to incorporate into your diet, from the like of beetroot, one of my favorite as well. We have the likes of celeriac, right, in the celery family, and on top of that, we've nuts. But finishing up with sleep, right, because it is one of the pillars of health. It amazingly affects the likes of your food choices, and it's a knock-on effect into your skin health, and your food choices then affect how, I suppose, you function on a daily basis. And then, just to suppose, before we leave you go, where's the best place for people to get in contact with you, and in relation to your book, where's the best place for them to get your book and name it and mention it, even show it there now if you have it?
I will. So all you need to know about menopause, and you can get it on Amazon or in your local bookstore, but it's probably easier to get it on Amazon. If you do, please leave it a review. You can follow me on Instagram, wellnesswarrior.ie, and that's my website as well. See, there was brain fog came in there, Coleman. And that's my website as well, Wellness Warrior. And if you go onto the website, I do a weekly newsletter that I talk about kind of what's happening and, you know, latest things. So sign up for that as well, because it's a great support as you go through.
Yeah, well, there you go. Thanks so much for really giving your time. And to tell the listeners, this was not the first chance to try and catch her a nabber. Wasn't the second, it was the third. But we got there in the end, and it was there's inside jokes there. We'll say no more. And I always finish these podcasts by saying, stay tuned, stay classy, and keep it organic. Enjoy this week's podcast, and if you would do me a small favor, that helps me massively. You could either share it either on your stories, leave a review, and or just pass it on to one individual, friend, family member, through your social media. That helps massively. You would barely believe it. All right, and things coming up very, very soon in the near future. Okay, we have going into the likes of the month of April. Okay, we have the Camino fully booked out. Okay, don't you worry about that, because we are going then on to the likes of, okay, the next Grow Your Own in the 13th of, I'm going to say April, but not only that, in Lismore, in Bally in House, okay, where there is private grounds, we'll be showing you hands-on demo how to do it, most certainly yourself, so you can do the exact same thing at home. We are leaning in on to the likes of the bank holiday weekend in May. May is busy. We have the 4th and the 5th. Okay, there is a cookery masterclass, but I'm not cooking on that occasion. I'm also showing you guys how to go inside in a polytunnel and raise beds. Example, that's the 4th and the 5th. That's in Kilkenny. Yeah, that's at Mountain View, Kilkenny. We are then leaning towards the classic, okay, Skull Retreat on the 11th. Okay, starting on Friday the 10th. The 10th, the 11th, and the 12th of May. Okay, if you want to come to any of these different events, okay, and there's even a further one on May the 24th, that is the Mallow in County Cork Flower and Garden Show. I will be at that one too. You want to come to any of these events, send me a private message. I will send you the link directly. Other than that, see you next week.